Well, guten Tag.
Good morning.
Thank you. It's good to see you. There's a lot of flags, and my dad taught me Afrikaans, but only like a little baby. So when I was in Africa, and one of the times for a missions trip, man, I had to talk in front of 1,000 high schoolers, which was super intimidating. I had just gotten out of high school, but we were talking about abstinence and some other stuff, which is an intimidating subject in English. So I started, I said, hello, who hand it? My name is Ivan Lebrant, and I prat and understand net the bicky of Afrikaans, which I used two English words in there because I forgot the Afrikaans words. But basically, I was saying, hi, my name is Ivan, and I speak and understand a little Afrikaans. They would call me a Baba Api, which is a baby monkey. Basically, that's all I could understand. But it was good enough, and we made it through. If you ever have a chance to do a missions trip, it's pretty good. I think the people might be rewarded by it, but I think you're able to see more of God's handiwork by doing it. Well, today we are going to be learning about programming. Computer programming. And I know, John Peterson's not here, but John Mitchell's here. There might be some other of us. It is really good. I started with Turbo Pascal, and that is an old, old language. I've since learned a few others. And this is not the type of language that you would talk to one another. Well, John and I might talk in some of these phrases, but it might go over the head of everyone else. Well, we had to make a day timer program. So we used all these kind of expressions and loops and begins and ends and stops and other things like that. But one of them that I liked was called the repeat loop. And this is what our textbook would say. In a repeat loop, compound statements are built in. You don't need to use a begin, end. Also, the loop continues until the Boolean expression is true. Whereas the while loop continues until the Boolean expression is false. That's pretty clear, right? This loop is called a post-test loop because the condition is tested after the body of the loop executes. The repeat loop is useful when you want the loop to execute at least once, no matter what the starting value of the Boolean expression is. You ready for the test? Well, believe it or not, this has to do with what we're talking about today. I can break it down. Basically, what it was saying was that you have a starting statement, you have actions pertaining to the statement, and after those actions are done, it asks, okay, is that statement still true or is it false? If it's true, keep going and going and going. If it's false, then stop. What does that have to do with going into all the world and preaching the gospel? Well, that's what we're going to find out today. Let me pray. Dear Lord, thank you that we have this time. I do appreciate that we still have the freedom to say it. I know a lot of our brothers and sisters throughout the world do not. Please help us to remember them in prayer, to boldly go before the throne. And Lord, I agree with Paul when he said that I want to proclaim the gospel clearly as I should. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we've been talking about our purpose statement. And the very first word on our purpose statement was belong. And what a purpose statement is basically something to keep going back to. What is our church, Denali Bible Chapel, about? What is our mission? What do we keep coming back to? So the first one was belong. And the belong had two parts. First and most important was that you had to belong to Jesus. Now this example or this picture shows a different type of belonging, but sometimes we as Western Christians mess it up. We think you have to belong to a building. We aren't belonging here to Denali Bible building. That doesn't matter. We're belonging to one another. So first you belong to Christ and you belong to one another. And for people listening on the CD, The picture says, many people are dying a slow death because their hope lies in the traditions of the church only and not in Jesus. Have a relationship with him, not a building. Make sure wherever you assemble that the foundation is Jesus. So we have to belong before we can do this process. And then we grow. Growing is both individually, because after you become a Christian, you have to grow and you have to understand things. But also we grow as a church body. I think we've matured as a body this last few years. And that's exciting. And then the third one was serve, and we talked about it last week. You go, once you've understood what Jesus has done for you, you realize that you want to share it with other people. And one of the main ways we do it is through serving others. And it doesn't matter where you do it, but it's having the attitude of, someone else is before me. How can I honor God by serving them? And then the last one today is go. And that comes from Matthew 28, go into all the world and preach the gospel, making disciples. Now, we have it all going back to one thing. And every single one of ours has to be for the glory of God. If we don't do that, then we're missing the boat. Now, where our repeat loop comes in, what we do has to be a cycle. We have become disciples because we've heard from other people. We've learned about God from other people. And then we help ourselves grow, and then we serve, and then we go out and make disciples. We bring them in, and then they belong, they grow, they serve, and they go. It's a continual process. Parents, you'll see this even more so because you have disciples under you. Mr. Chuck said in his email this week that be sure to take advantage of this opportunity because your kids are your disciples. So this is a whole cycle. What can we produce all for the glory of God? And that's why programming is useful. If you can get the dummies guide, I tell you it's going to be a lot easier. But God said to go into all the world, and we can only stop when he comes back. So as long as the statement is true, we keep going. Once the statement is false, he has returned. Good deal, he's back. Okay, our passage is found in Romans 10, and we're looking at verses 9 through 15 today. What is happening is that Paul has written this letter to the Christians in Rome. Some of them were Gentiles, that is non-Jews, and some of them were Jews. And what Paul has been noticing is that some of the Judaizers, or ones that are very religious in Jewish law, were coming and saying, well, you have to only follow the law. And what Paul says, okay, if you follow the law, you have to follow it perfectly. Never get anything wrong. But since no man is righteous, not even one, you can't follow the law. So he was explaining that righteousness comes by faith, and faith by hearing the word of God. And that's where our verse comes in. We're starting with verse number 9. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, there are a few things here that show the gospel. And one of the big words was, if you confess with your mouth. So what does confess mean? Confess comes from the Greek word that is omologeten. And basically what it means is to acknowledge publicly. To say, I agree with what God has said. So in this case, it's agreeing that what God has done in the Bible, of sending his son to die on the cross for our sins, of rising again. I agree with that. I agree I need a Savior. And I agree the only way to him is through belief in Jesus. So when we confess, it's public. This means that there are no secret believers. There are no Christians that should be completely quiet. Do your neighbors know that you're a Christian? Is it through action? Is it through what you say? if it's not confessed publicly, and I don't mean you have to go up here, but telling someone that you're a believer, that part is really important. And so notice that verse 9 doesn't say anything about rituals. It doesn't even say you have to be saved, confess with your mouth, Jesus Lord, believe in your heart, and you'll be saved, and be baptized. Notice that it leaves that out. But where baptism is really important is that it shows that you have professed publicly before the people around you that you are a Christian. So that's why it's really encouraged to do it shortly after you're saved. It's very important. So other people know, yes, you're branded. But if you accept what Jesus has done for you, wouldn't you want others to know, to share that love? So that's what confessing means. And then the other one was confess Jesus as Lord. That can be a little more sticky thing. Back in the 80s, it was called Lordship Salvation. If Jesus ain't Lord of your whole life, he ain't Lord of no life. Basically, it was what it was. And the principle makes sense. But one thing is that God meets you where you're at. Sometimes we have a great desolate life. But God comes and he says, okay, would you make me God of what you understand right now in your life? Would you put me on the throne of what you know of your life? That's putting him as Lord. It's seeing him as the one that's in charge, the supreme one, rather than you making your own decisions, doing what you want. It's saying, okay, you saved me, and I'll make you Lord. Now, the Holy Spirit at that moment comes and lives inside of you. And what he does, he kind of cleans up the other areas of your life. And sometimes we find that there are some areas that we didn't realize God was not Lord of. And what we do is say, man, God, thank you for forgiving me in that area. I want to also make you Lord of that area. You're not being re-saved. You're not being reborn again. But it's acknowledging that, oh, yeah, thanks for pointing that out. God, you are God of that area. So that's what that means. And our salvation is once and done, but our sanctification, our growing in Christ, is a continual process. We're continuing to be transformed until he comes back. And then the other part was, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. And you know that, and we're going to talk about it next week with Palm Sunday and then Easter right after that. But do you believe what had been done? Do you agree with what the Bible has said? Well, the mouth and the heart, that's an interesting way of Paul saying it. But Luke 6:45 says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you have your heart and your mouth in agreement. That's why Paul is saying that. You say what your heart is saying. Now, what happens if people just do lip service while Jesus is Lord? Did you know that even the demons and Satan believed in Jesus? It's not just saying Jesus is Lord. It's actually putting him on that throne. It's believing that he died on the cross and was rose again. It's for all people, Jews and Gentiles. No one will be disappointed. Israel, they were sent the Bible. I mean, God spoke to them directly. He was in their tabernacle. He was in their temple. He had prophets. And eventually all the words were written down. And they had all this, and yet most of them didn't believe. And so the message was sent out to us as largely Gentiles. And we were saved because of that message. So even being surrounded by it, they didn't believe. Well, verses 14 and 15, let's keep going on. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they have been sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. All these questions first was for Israel. Paul is asking these things of the Jewish Christians. But it actually pertains to us too, because he's talking to the Gentiles and the Jews. So he's talking to us. Do we know the answer on how can they believe here? How can they call on the one they have not believed in? So if you were in a tribe in Swaziland or Ouagadougou, and you've never heard anything, how can you call? And then how can they believe in the person that they've never heard of? How can they hear if we don't go? And how can we go unless we're sent? Really good questions. When it says that they need to, or how can they hear without someone preaching to them? Sorry. Preaching means to proclaim aloud. And I'll show you that you do it too. At the count of three, I would like you all to say, "Hello, my name is," and then say your name, your real first name. Okay? And you say it out loud. It doesn't have to be super loud, whatever you want. But say, "Hello, my name is Ivan." Ready? One, two, three.
Hello, my name is Ivan.
Awesome. Good job. You have just preached. Preaching means to proclaim, to tell. You have just proclaimed your name to me. So I could turn this podium around if you wanted to see that you have the ability to preach as well. It's not just up here. So we proclaim with our mouths to other people. Well, then, what does it mean that the beautiful feet? Because I think my feet probably aren't beautiful. I don't know about the rest of yours. What it was talking about was Isaiah 52:7, and what the messenger had come for miles and miles. And he had dirty, dusty feet, but he was running to Babylon to the Israelites that were exiled there. And he told them, "Now you can go home. Now your salvation is at hand." He had brought them good news that they can finally return after decades of being away from Israel. And so the beautiful feet brought him and his good news to them. So when we bring good news to others, it's beautiful feet that bring the message. Maybe that's an amazing thing, but it's true because the message is beautiful. Well, verse 15, actually, some people use to blame God for not touching everyone in the world. And blaming God, it's been done since Adam and Eve. So then what do we do about those that don't hear? Well, Paul doesn't talk about it right here. But remember that God is a God of love. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to saving knowledge of him. So we don't really know what he does. But Don Richardson, he is a missionary. He gave a good example of what God sometimes does in tribal people. And this was the Karen tribe. Back hundreds and hundreds of years, they had this story that was passed on from generation to generation that said that they were told of this book that saved them, that pointed out their errors in their ways of life, and that they had lost that. So for hundreds of years, the Karen people kept saying, "Well, we need to be nice to each other. We need to look for the one that created the world. We need to try to honor him." And so they had a dream, I believe, that was passed on that said, when a white person comes and visits you, they will bring the book. And so in 1795, one of the white explorers came and visited them. And when they said he was supposed to bring a book, he said, "And who, pray tell, is the author of this book that has power to charm and alliterate folk like these?" They say the author is YWA, like Yahweh, the supreme God. They say also that the white brother, having given them the lost book, will thereby set them free from all who oppress them. And so because he is a diplomat, he basically says, "Oh, no, that's not me." And so they were crestfallen. "Could our forefathers have been mistaken?" asked a young Karen. "Don't worry," responded an elder, managing a hopeful smile. "One day he will come." Other prophecies may fail, but not this one. This was a tribe that did not have the Bible. And yet God had revealed himself to them. 30 years later, Adoniram Judson, one of his partners, went into this village and started talking about Jesus. And for hundreds of years, they were ripe for the gospel. They were trying to learn how to live rightly for the supreme God. And they came in, this white man, with this book that told them what they needed to do. And hundreds of thousands of them were saved because their lives were prepared from passing it on, because God had met their needs without us actually being there. So does God abandon people that seek for him? I don't think so. Verse 15 can't be a blaming verse for God, but it has to compel us to do something. Because who is God sending? He's sending all of us. Well, how do we go? How do we do something? Well, we have to first be a witness. And I have to tell you that it's probably more than just being a good person. Jesus, he was a brother. I don't know if you've ever thought about it. But if you've ever had brothers or sisters, you probably got annoyed at them. They probably picked on you. They probably did something dumb. And you probably hit them back or whatever. How would you feel if your brother never ever got in trouble, never ever picked on you, never ever was the one to start the fight? And, you know, he was always the one that they knew was right, never lying. Man, that would be frustrating. So he was perfect. And you know, he grew up and he started talking about God. And he started talking about how to live. And none of his brothers believed him until he died and rose again. He had a perfect witness. And yet those closest to him did not believe. Now, they grew up. James was the half-brother of Jesus. You can read it in your Bible. And then Jude was another one. Both of them became great men of God, but they only realized it after he was dead. Now, I'm not saying that we have to die in order to be a good witness, but I was thinking about it when I read something that says, we can wave to our neighbors for 20 years, and we can wave him right into hell. Without speaking, we're losing a part. So you want to have a good lifestyle, evangelism is what it says, but also be able to speak it. The gospel in a nutshell is believe and confess Jesus as Lord and you'll be saved. So then how do you share the gospel? Well, one day a lady criticized Dwight Moody. He was a great speaker, preacher. He actually led a lot of people to Christ. But she said that she disagreed with his way of trying to win people to God. And Moody said, well, you know, I don't really like the way I do it either. How do you do it? She said, I don't. He said, well, then I like the way I do it rather than the way you don't. Now, the rule of thumb then is to be a good witness, but to speak. And whatever way you feel like you need to speak, to know it backwards and forwards. So there are several, probably many more than I could count, but some that if you want to write down, that you look up. And it tells you how to present the gospel. One of them is the four spiritual laws. That one's been around for a long time, but it talks about God being put on the throne of your heart. Then the one I really do like a lot is called the Romans Road. And it uses the book of Romans to speak about how to be saved. And then another one is the acronym GOSPEL. It goes through the whole Bible showing how we need a Savior. But it's G stands for what, and then O stands for what, and then S. So look up the GOSPEL acronym. Or there's the Wordless Book, which starts with colors, gold, black, or dark, and then red, white, and green. And then if you're in Awana, we have the Awana Gospel Wheel. But all of these are just tools to basically share what Jesus has done. One of my friends says it's great if you witness, if you talk to other people, but if you miss saying the gospel, saying why you've been changed, then you've missed the opportunity. So then for me, when I talk to people, and like Awana is probably one of the bigger times I get to talk about it, I try to always talk about God being holy. So much of our culture, especially when I was growing up, was you are evil, you are sinful, you are going to hell, and there's nothing you can do about it. Which is absolutely true. But it's such a degrading thing. When you look at the Bible, it starts with God. So we start with God's holiness. The holy God made this world, and he made us to enjoy it. And he wanted to have fellowship with us. For a while, we did. But then one of our ancestors did something against God, and he ate this fruit, and that was a sin to God. And ever since then, man, that sin was passed on. And now I have sin in my own life. And sin means I can't be with perfection. Imperfection can't be with perfection. Holiness with unholiness. So I can't do anything about it. But the perfect holy God who wanted fellowship with us in the first place loved us so much that he made this way. He sent Jesus, his only son, to come to earth to be a perfect sacrifice because that was the only way to get rid of sin. Without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. So he died on the cross, and God sealed the deal by raising him again to prove that he has the power to save. And you know what? When I looked at that, I realized that God loved me. I know he died for everyone, but for some reason, he loved me. And sometimes I feel my family doesn't love me, others don't love me, that I feel like an outcast. But God loved me. And if he loved me that much, and he made this way, man, I believe it. And I want you to be Lord of my life, God. And that's kind of how you can say the gospel within your own story. You talk about where you were, what happened to you, and where you are now. Where you were saved from, where you were, what happened to you, how you were saved, and where you are now. What are you doing about it? How are you growing? And that's the main way that we share the gospel. Have you ever been asked then about how to share the gospel? It's really simple. Confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. Well, then it comes down to these five questions about who is sent, who is able to preach, who is able to tell others about Jesus. And Matthew 28:19 is a command to every single one of Jesus' disciples. And those are his followers. And so, you are all sent. You should find your name in this list. That happens to look like the world. You have no excuse. You have been sent by God. Now it's time to go. It's putting a question out to God, where do you want me to go today? And then following through with it. Let's pray. God, thank you for using us to be your missionaries. Sometimes I think, man, you're taking a huge risk. But we want you to have the glory, God. We want you to have your name proclaimed. Please use us. In Jesus' name, amen.